Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. We got Roundup coming up here, so everybody inviting folks, and we're going to do this year. If you bring 10 or more people, Pam and I get to have dinner with you. How about that? Huh? I'm telling you, anybody that'll bring 10 people to church, I want to have dinner with you. I want to get to know you, huh? Because you're working for the kingdom. So let's start asking everybody. Let's start handing out flyers. Have we got any flyers here today? I don't see Gary's counting the money here. But let's start handing out flyers, and let's start rounding up folks, and we're going to have this building full. I said we're going to have this building full. In the back, I said we're going to have this building full. All right. Do you know somebody that's not saved? Do you know somebody that maybe been saved and they're away from the Lord right now? You get them here, because the Holy Spirit's going to do a job on them. Huh? Boy, your enthusiasm is just killing me today. Praise the Lord. I love you. Thank you for coming on a holiday. Praise God. Everybody didn't go to the lake, did they? Hallelujah. If the rapture was to happen in the next hour, it'd probably happen here. I don't think it's going to happen at the lake. I think it's just going to... No, hey, if you're ready, you're going to go, huh? Praise the Lord. I love you and thank you. And continue through the day praying for, I know you have been, but continue praying for all the people down in Houston all the way over into Louisiana. And man, it's we understand a little bit of that here, don't we? And you take what we saw here in Joplin and multiply it several hundred times, and that's what they're going through down there. So anyway, but God's moving. He's moving. Praise the Lord. I want to read you something out of John chapter 4. This is a story. I'm just going to pick out a few verses here and read to you. This is a story of the lady at the well, and y'all all know the story. But verse 28 says this, says, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." And verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified." Father, right now, just cause me to say what you want to say. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to clear my mind. Help me get it off of everything that's happening and everything that's going on. And let me just hear you. Come and see a man. Could I say something here? Is it okay if I just talk for a few minutes? I'm glad it's okay, because that's what I'm going to do. Let me just say this. You know, what the world needs to see now is a man named Jesus. There's so much going on right now. We're at the... If you'll watch the news and you'll watch what's going on, don't watch it very long because it'll poison you. It'll get you in a bad mood. It'll get you focused off of Jesus and on the natural, on the world, man. And so I listen to it sometimes 30 minutes a day. And if you just listen to it 30 minutes, you'll know what they're saying all day and all night. Okay? But I don't think we ought to bury our head in the sand. I think we ought to know. But man, if you'll listen, evil is prevailing. And we see the forces of God trying to change things, but evil, how many know evil doesn't want to give up? And how many know the devil doesn't give up easy? How many know we give up usually before the devil does? And since I said that, I'll just say this. The opposition, the devil will work the hardest on you right before the answer of God gets to you. Right, what you've been believing for, you'll get more discouraged right before that answer gets there. And if you're not careful, you'll quit. You'll let your guard down. You'll give up your faith right before the answer comes. But I'm here today to say I'm talking about a Jesus today that always brings my answer. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He's always with me. And I don't know about you, but I've just decided just to rub up close to Him as I can get and just stay there. Because it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. And I know we've said this for ever since I've been saved. I've heard people say it. Truth is, I've read in the Bible and they were saying it then. But the truth is, I believe we're right at the last of the last days. Huh? And what I believe happening right now is God's pulling out all the stops. He's doing everything He can to reach everybody He can because He doesn't want anybody to perish. Huh? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus or you maybe know Him and you haven't been living for Him, hey, I'm telling you, He's pulling out the stop, that tugging you feel at your heart, that's Him drawing you close because He doesn't want anybody to be left out. And what the world needs to see today is Jesus. I was listening to the Holy Spirit talk to me about this, and I'm not so vain to think that everything I say is what the Holy Spirit says, but everything good I say is what He says. Okay, if I mess something up or don't say it exactly right, that's not Him, that's me. Okay, but boy, He is something else, man. And I was listening to Him, and before I knew it, I don't even know why I turned there, but I turned to Isaiah 60. Let me read this to you. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But," everybody say, "but." "But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings of the brightness to the brightness of your rising." He says, lift up your eyes and look around. Folks, you just had to know what the Lord was talking to me about, all this stuff, whenever I just happened to look at this portion of Scripture. If we ever had a time when darkness was on the face of the earth and it was increasing, it was now. But God says, but arise and look around. We don't have to be down. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be without hope. We've got Jesus Christ as our Lord. Now, I'm probably not going to quit screaming, so if I'm too loud, turn me down a little bit. I'd rather you turn me down than me turn me down. Folks, this is a great, you ought to read this whole chapter, but he starts talking here about your all the Gentiles, all the lost will come to you. He says, lift up your eyes around and see that they'll gather, they'll come to you. He says, your heart will swell with joy. The abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. He goes on here, he's saying things like that the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. I don't know what I'd do with a bunch of camels, but I'll take them if God wants to give them to me, you know. But he goes on and he's saying things like they'll bring gold and silver and incense. All your flocks will gather together to you. He's talking about their silver and their gold they'll bring to you. Understand what he's saying here. Now listen, I know. I was talking about this to somebody the other day. They said, but don't you know, Hank, that that's a prophecy for Israel? Yes, I know that. But I am Israel. Because of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. I know there's certain physical things that's happening to Israel and that will happen to the nation of Israel. But Galatians 3:29 says, if I be in Christ, then I'm Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I'm just saying that to say this. What I believe is yes, things are getting bad, but are you going to focus on what's getting bad? Or are you going to focus on the man? Are you going to focus on all your troubles? Or are you going to focus on the man that solved all your issues? You going to concentrate on your sickness? Or are you going to concentrate on the stripes that were taken for that sickness? In the last day, it's getting worse and worse. We're seeing it before our eyes. But God's people are going to rise up. God's people are going to rise up. That's what I've been trying to talk to you guys for months and months and months now. Trying to get you to believe. Get you to believe. Well, why do I want to? I don't have to have a lot. I don't have to believe. Well, but hold it. If you had a lot, couldn't you do a lot more for God with it? Huh? Wouldn't you like to be spending time thinking about Him and His goodness instead of all the bills that you don't have the money to pay? Listen to me. Even whenever he delivered the children out of Israel, all the curses came on Egypt. All the curses came on Egypt, but not on the land of Goshen. Read it. It's in Exodus. Yes, then somebody told me that they said, oh, brother. You know, I love it when I get those religious voices. You know, oh, brother. Oh, things are getting so bad. And I said, yeah, in my camp, things are getting better and better and better. Because I'm not moved by what's going on around me. I'm moved by the joy of the Lord that's in my heart. He's causing me to shout. How many know what the world needs to see is a man named Jesus? They need to see some hope. They need to see somebody, something that encourages them. Well, let them look at you. You're going through the same things they are, except you got something in your life that they don't. Whenever we start letting that happen in our lives, folks are going to want to come to the Lord. I go places and people that don't know me say, what is it about you? Something's different about you. And I go, well, I'm glad you asked. His name's Jesus! How many know you probably just asked me that one time in the middle of Walmart, huh? I'm telling you what, I love this story. This we know the women at the well story and how Jesus and them, the boys were walking and they'd been walking for a while and it's about noon and they're tired. Jesus is tired, so he sits down at the well and the disciples, they go in to get some food into the city, the little town that was close to them. And Jesus is sitting there kind of resting and this woman comes up and he says, would you give me a drink? And she says, oh, well, why are you being a Jew? Why would you even talk to me? She was a Samaritan lady. She wasn't, you know, the Samaritans were the scum of the earth. They were the ones that everybody, all the Jews looked down on them, wouldn't have anything to do with them. And actually, ladies, back then, the custom was ladies were, you were just kind of, you weren't even second class citizens. You rated right in there with the camels and the flocks. Aren't you glad Jesus set you free? Aren't you glad Jesus turned it around? Huh? Whew, aren't you glad? Man, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad God uses ladies. If He didn't use ladies, our churches wouldn't even be around today. Huh? That wasn't part of the message. Anyway, and you know the story. She felt inadequate. She felt insecure. She felt second class. She felt no good. She felt unworthy. Why would you even talk to me? Why would you even ask me that? And Jesus starts talking to her. He says, "Hey, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. If you knew who I was, you'd ask me and I'd give you some living water. Huh? If you knew who I was, I'd give you something on the inside of you that'd make you think different." Huh? And she's listening, and you know the story. I don't need to tell you the whole story there, but it's funny because she says, Well, finally after a little bit, she says, "Well, I want some of that water. Give me some of that water." He says, "Well, go get your husband." And she says, "Well, I don't have one." He says, "I know you don't." He said, "You've had five of them. And the one you're living with now, you're just living with them. You're not even married." Now, what was Jesus focused on here? Let's think about this. Because if he was, you know, he says here a few sentences later, the disciples trying to get him to eat, and he said, "Oh, I've got food that you don't even know anything about. My food is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work that He sent me to do." So how many know Jesus knew God's heart? He knew the Father's heart, right? I was thinking, what was you focused on, Jesus? What were you focused on? You know, this would have been a great time for Him to preach a sermon on divorce. Huh? This would have been a great time for Him to have gave instructions on living together and not being married. This would have been a great time for Him to condemn her. But He didn't. He said, "Oh, I want to give you some living water." You know what was so refreshing to me about this little segment in there? She just came clean, man. She didn't try to give an excuse. "Well, I had biblical grounds for being divorced. Well, we're just living together but you know, we know in God's eyes we're married." And I mean, this would have been a great time for her to have rationalized or made excuses. She met somebody that already read her mail. She said, "I just want some of that water. I just want some of that water." This would have been a great time. Jesus knew God's heart. He said, "I came to do His will and to finish His work." This would have been a great time for Him to condemn. And I want to say this today. The Lord didn't condemn you then, and He's not going to condemn you now. What the world needs to see now, you can take away from this and say, "Pastor Hank said it's okay to get divorced. Pastor Hank said it's okay to..." I mean, you can say anything you want to say, but that's not what I'm saying, and you know it. But Jesus had a way of getting right to the heart of things. Huh? He got right to the meat, man. That's what the four Gospels are. He's talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and every time, they're the only ones He got mad at. They're the only ones He got judgmental about. was the religious folk of that day. Because they were so religious on the outside, then they didn't have anything on the inside, and nobody was coming to God. Jesus said, I came to do the work of my Father. I came to finish that work. What was that work? He goes right on and says, hey, don't say 4 months till the harvest. No, the harvest is ready now. Don't say it's going to be harvest time pretty soon. No, the harvest is ready now. Go out into the harvest and harvest it. Folks, I was just thinking, if Jesus was saying that 2,000 years ago, how much more true is it now? The harvest. And you know what we need to hear is about a God that loves us. What was his focus with this lady? He says, come to me. I can do something inside of you. I can help you put your life back together. I can give you some hope. I can give you some encouragement. You won't have to be in the back seat anymore. I can give you something that'll change you from the inside out. Folks, what the world needs to see is a man named Jesus. And he needs to see that in our life. He needs to see that in everything we do. What was his focus? His focus was on helping this lady. What's his focus on for you? His focus is to help you. His focus is to save you. What we need to see, what the world needs to see, what we need to demonstrate is the power of God working in our lives, the compassion of God working through us, the love of God being seen in everything we do. Even if you do get mad because they messed the program up. See, I've already been repenting over that. See? Do you understand what I'm saying? And this was so refreshing. You know, Jesus already knows it all. Won't you just come clean with him? He knows why you're not. He knows why you are. He knows the motive behind everything you're doing. He knows everything about your heart. Don't you think it'd be refreshing just to come clean with him? You know, every once in a while, and I had to do this the other day, every once in a while, I just have to have a come to Jesus meeting. Huh? I mean, maybe this never happens to y'all, but do you ever just get, you just feel kind of dull and you feel kind of, you know, you kind of, you know, and you've been listening to all this stuff going on, and you just feel like the fire's gone out, and you just feel like there's no nothing there. Anybody feel that way ever? I mean, you're just down a little, you're just a little discouraged. Oh, you're not too far down. You're just a little discouraged. You just, well, I'm just, you know, I would do this, but I'd call them, but I'd go visit them, but, you know, and pretty soon there's more buts than there is anything else, you know. And so every once in a while I just have to go, Lord, I just need a come to Jesus meeting here. Holy Spirit, I need you to tune me up and tune me in. I'm not thinking right. I'm not doing right. I'm not functioning right. I just need Holy Spirit. And you know what? You get honest with him and something starts happening in your life. Let me ask you, are you facing any problems? You facing any difficulties? You facing any hard times? Is there things going on in your life that are really weighting you down? Won't you just have a come to Jesus meeting? You know, I just sit down and I just go, God, I don't know all the answers for all this stuff. But I know you. And I know you love me. And I want to live for you. I don't know why I did that the other day, Lord. I don't know why I was thinking that about that person. I don't know why. Lord, would you just help me and tune me up? Tune me in. You see, the lady got honest. She just said, she didn't try to make excuses. She just said, this old boy's read my mail. She said, give me some of that water. Give me some of that stuff you're talking about. And Jesus explained what that water was a little later. He says the Father wants somebody that's just going to worship Him in truth and in spirit. He wants somebody that's just going to come clean with Him. God, I am a mess. And all those people down at that church, they think I'm something. But you know me and I'm a mess, God. Help me. I love you and I want to be all I can be for you and I want to do all I can do for you and I want to do everything you want me to do and I want you more than I want anything else. Just help me, Father. Holy Spirit, just help me. Just come clean. You don't have to go around with a frown on your face all the time. Well, you just don't know how bad. Yes, I do. The same devil lives around me that's living around you. I just quit looking at him. I just quit worshiping him. Oh, I wouldn't worship the devil. Yeah, you do. When you're talking more about your problem than you are about the answer, and his name is Jesus, you're showing him glory. You're giving him praise. You're giving him glory. I just decided to quit praising the devil and start praising my God. Well, you can't just do that overnight. You can't just turn it on and off, but you can start right now. Huh? You can start right now. Somebody in here needs to say, Lord, you know, I want that joy that he's talking about, but I sure don't have it. And if it is, it's really hidden well. All you got to do is start getting honest with him. Start telling him. Start telling him. And then before you even know it, it just starts happening. And then you just got to listen and pay attention and follow the lead. It's not your willpower. Huh? It's Jesus' power. Huh? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I can't do nothing without His strength. I can't do anything. He's the hope of the world. He's the hope of the world. What the world needs to see is a man named Jesus. And I'll tell you the second thing and then we're done. What the world needs to hear is some of us telling them about the man named Jesus. Now, I purposely cut out a bunch of stuff today because for the last 3 weeks I've been trying, and when I get down to what I was really wanting to say, I'm out of time. But what we need is some ladies at the well and some men at the well that'll just run into town and tell everybody about the man that they saw. The man that knew everything about them. The man that came into their heart. The man that started giving them that living water. The man that started changing their life. What the world needs to hear is some of us talking about this man named Jesus. We've let the world suppress us and suppress us where we don't want to pray in public. We can't. I'm a little bothered because I heard some folks on TV talk show talking, and they're supposed to be the ones we're supposed to listen to, and they're as screwy as all the rest of them. And they were going, somebody said, well, where is God in this Hurricane Harvey? Makes me mad. And I don't know, I just thought, and before I knew it, I was saying it out loud. I said, well, he's the same place he was when we kicked him out of the public schools. Where's God in this Hurricane Harvey? Well, he's the same place he was when we wouldn't let anybody pray on the town square anymore. He's the same place he was whenever they told us we can't even pray at our kids' football games now. He's the same place he was whenever we started calling Christmas Xmas instead of Christmas. God didn't change, folks. We did. Huh? Well, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but that's okay. If we get fired up enough, we might even actually do something, huh? I know some of you little angels here don't need to hear this, but I need to hear it. I had to have a come to Jesus meeting. There was a time when I couldn't wake up in the morning without going, God, I got to find somebody that doesn't know you. I got to find somebody and get them saved today. And now if I wake up that way once a week, I'm lucky. God didn't change. Hank changed. Huh? Oh, I'm not saying you ought to be belligerent and you ought to be a donkey and all the rest of that. I'm just saying, but you ought to know in whom you believe, and you ought to be persuaded that he's able to do whatever he said he could do. Is it okay if I just talk till I get happy? I hope some of you get happy in the process. And your excitement's overwhelming me today. Oh, somebody, I said that a few weeks ago, somebody came up and said, Pastor, don't you know that we just don't react that way? I know, man, I'm not getting on you. Hey, I know. No need to jump unless you got something to jump about. Huh? I got something to jump about. His name's Jesus. Huh? Folks, listen to me. Listen to me, and I'll cut this off. Listen to me. Everybody you see, I do a lot of funerals. I go to a lot of funerals. And I hate funerals. God hates funerals. He didn't design us to die. He designed us to live. The devil came in to make us die. And we've been dying ever since. Now he says, if you'll just receive me as your Lord, you'll never die again. You'll live forever. Even when this body shuts down, when you shut these physical eyes, when you open them, you'll see Jesus. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen to me. You can say all the pretty words you want to say at a funeral. And you can talk about the peace they had. And you can talk about the smile they had on their face. And you can talk about what you felt, the angels in the room. And you can talk about all the rest of this. But if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, you're not going to be with him. So, Hank, you're not usually this forceful. I know. Let me get it out of my system. Because we're lollygagging around. We're more important in our kingdoms that we're heaping up than we are in his kingdom that we're supposed to be advancing. He wants you to have plenty in your pile. He wants people to look at you and go, how come his pile's so big and ours isn't? He wants you to be able to say, I'm blessed of the Lord. But he never told me to focus on that. He told me focus on the kingdom. Huh? Well, this is just a little come to Jesus meeting. Are y'all okay? Huh? I don't know. I was talking to JR the other day, and we got to preaching to each other about people getting saved and all that stuff. And for, we were both shouting. We weren't no more listening to each other than anything in the world. We was both preaching. We was shouting. Woo! I got done talking to him. I had to go find somebody and tell him about Jesus. I had to. I was going to explode if I didn't. Oh, I say, well, I just don't know how to do that yet, Hank. Well, okay, well, get them to church and then I'll do it while you're learning how to do it. Everybody say something with me. Are you a Christian? Everybody didn't say that. Now we're going to quit if you guys will get with me. Everybody say, are you a Christian? Everybody say, are you a Christian? Everybody say, do you have Jesus in your heart? Now what I want you to do is look to somebody close to you. Look them right in the eye. Come on. Crystal, you two can do this right here. Come on. Zach, talk to Mrs. Hill there. My mind's going 1,000 miles an hour here. Now look at them and say, do you have Jesus in your heart? Come on, look somebody in the eye. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Have you given him your life? Would you like to? Well, let me tell you how. Okay, see, you got to practice this. And the exact words aren't important, but man, you got to practice this. You want to solve all your problems? You want all your needs to be met? You want to get all that stuff that's weighing you down? You want the answer to all that stuff? You just start winning people to the Lord, and all that stuff will start taking care of itself. You hearing me? You hearing me? Now, I've been asking y'all to invite people to church, and some of you are. Some more of you are going to. But you know what? I quit waiting. If you guys don't do it, I'm going to fill it up by myself. I'm going to invite people myself. Are you hearing me? What I'm saying is, folks, this is too important for us just to sidetrack it and kind of put it off and go, well, the Holy Spirit will deal with them. Listen, everybody might not listen to you, but when the Holy Spirit's dealing with their heart, that's the time they'll listen to you. But when the Holy Spirit deals with their heart, somebody has to tell them about Jesus. Oh, the Holy Spirit will deal with them. Yeah, he'll deal with them, but we've been given the responsibility to tell them. Romans 10, Paul said, he said, salvation is near you. The words are near you. The word of salvation is near you. The word's in your mouth and in your heart. If you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13, he says, and whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Aren't you glad? How many's called on him? Do you understand what that means? That means you're saved. Doesn't matter what you feel like, that means you're saved. Somebody got saved. They said, well, I just don't know if I'm going to heaven. I said, hold it. Have you got Jesus in your heart? And they said, yes. I said, well, the devil won't let you into hell. You can't go there if you got Jesus in your heart. The only place you can go is to be with him. But he goes on and he says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But he says, how will they call if they haven't believed? He says, how will they believe unless somebody's told them? He said, how will they tell them unless they're sent? He said, oh, how beautiful are the feet of those that go and tell them. How beautiful are the feet of those that go and tell them. Now, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. Folks, when it comes right down to it, the only thing that's going to make a difference, did you ask Jesus into your heart, and did they ask Jesus into their heart? Yes, I'm going to be hopeful every funeral I do. I'm going to be hopeful. I'm going to be hopeful that before they shut their eyes the last time, before they do that last breath, that they ask Jesus into their heart. That's why every broadcast I give an invitation, I tell you how to be saved. I pray the prayer with you every broadcast, because if you're not saved and you're ready to die, I want the Holy Spirit to have something that he can pull up there and tell you. And I just believe everybody's going to do it. And I'm going to be hopeful and all that, but when it comes right down to it, the only thing that makes any difference is, did you do it? It doesn't matter how many angels were in the room when you died. Doesn't matter how much joy you felt. Doesn't matter how much peace everybody felt in the room. It doesn't matter what the look on your face was. The only thing that matters is, do you have Jesus in your heart? I don't know how to preach this any other way. I don't know how to add anything to that. Do you understand what I'm saying? What the world needs now is to see and to hear. So they need to see somebody. They need to see this Jesus in us, but they need to hear somebody tell them about Jesus. Huh? It's not hard. You got to start, though. You know what I started doing? Whenever I was going to lead somebody to the Lord and I was scared to do it, and I just went in and looked in the mirror, and I just kept looking in the mirror, and I said, are you saved? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Would you like to? Let me tell you how. If you'll confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart, He'll save you right now. If you'll mean business with Him, if you'll come, and I just do that in the mirror to myself over and over and over, I finally got myself saved. Listen, everything in your flesh, everything in your mind won't let you tell somebody about Jesus. But that Spirit in you, if you have Jesus in there, He's raising up and He's trying to get you. He's trying to cause us. He's saying, tell them, tell them, tell them. I don't know about you, but when that last thing is, and I know I've said this before, but I'm going to look Jesus in the eye. I want Him to say, well done, Hank. I don't want Him to say, well, you're done, Hank. Man, when I'm standing there, I want to spend the first 1,000 years people coming up going, hey, man, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Are you hearing me? Well, how many think we need a little stirring once in a while? Huh? Do you know I love you? Huh? Folks, this is the truth. We're running out of time. Huh? Wouldn't surprise me within a few days, a few weeks, if we weren't in a nuclear war with one of the countries now that's stirring stuff up. Hey, listen, the devil's running rampant. You think Harvey was something? The devil's got a lot more things in his bag that to let out in this earth. But Jesus. But Jesus. I won't fear what this world has. I won't fear what that enemy does because I got Jesus in my heart. And if you don't know Him, I need to tell you about Him. Huh? I need to tell you about Him because I don't want to do your funeral. I did a funeral here a while back and had a whole bunch of folks I graduated with. And they've been in a whole lot of my funeral. I said, well, now you know what I'm going to say now, don't you? And I told them how to be saved. And I said, hey, do it. Don't make me stand up here at your funeral and not know for sure whether you were right or not. Let me leave you with a thought. Leave you with a thought. This was just one little lady. She wasn't even an important lady. She was in people's eyes, she was the scum of the scum. Even in her town, you know the folks were talking about you because you know somebody that talks that way now. Yeah, she'd been married 12 times. Yeah, and I'm not going to say that. She's living with somebody now. She wasn't a preacher. She wasn't an evangelist. She wasn't an apostle. The apostles were off getting Jesus some food. But this one little lady went in and she told the whole town, she said, come and see a man that knew everything about me. Could he be the Christ? One little lady's voice, one little insignificant lady, her voice got a whole town, whole city to come to Jesus. Let me leave you with this thought. What could your one little voice do? Huh? See, it can't do anything by itself. But you let it get full of the Holy Ghost and His power, and you watch what God can do with you. Is that good? Everybody stand. And I really aimed to quit 10 minutes ago, but I was enjoying myself so much, I just couldn't quit. Corey, don't raise your hand, but I just ask you a question. How many will go find somebody this week, maybe even today, and witness to them about Jesus? If you don't know exactly how to get them saved yet, be sure and get them to church, because I'm going to tell them every week how to be saved. Huh? You start gathering those folks up to come to Roundup, that's just about 2 weeks away, three Sundays from today. Not very far off. You round them up and get them in here, we're going to see this altar full again this year. Okay? I'm just saying, let's get serious about Jesus. How about that? Let's get serious about Him. He was pretty serious about us. He went to the cross. Everybody bow your heads. How many in here, if you died right now, you know you're saved and you know you'd go be with God? Raise your hand. Okay, praise God. Praise God. You can put them down. Now in here, how many in here don't know? Who in here doesn't know for sure that you're saved? If you died right now, you don't know for sure you'd go be with God. Is everybody saved? Is everybody saved? Who in here doesn't know? Raise your hand real quick. Daddy's trying to keep his little boy from raising his hand there. He's just waving at everybody. Okay, then, if nobody's raised their hand, then everybody in here is saved. We ought to not ever have another service where everybody in here is saved. Ought to never have another service where there isn't somebody here that needs to hear about Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Now, just for practice, because there is one in here that's not saved and you didn't raise your hand, and I don't know who you are, or I'd point at you. No, I wouldn't. But just so you can know for sure, we're going to all pray with you. And if you'll pray this and mean it, something will happen in your heart. So all of us, let's pray together. Father, say it out loud. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to come into my life. I want to live for you. But I need your help. Take my life and do something with it. Thank you for saving me. Now, how many saved in here? Woo! Glory to God. Aren't you happy? Hey, I speak God's blessing on you, and I believe Him to touch your life this day and this week, and I believe Him to make Himself more real to you than He's ever been before. And I believe His blessings to follow you, to overtake you. I believe Him to be good to you in every area of your life. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? All right. If you prayed that prayer and didn't know for sure, come down. We'd like to give you some information. If maybe you want to pray, we've got folks down here to pray with you. If you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you. Whatever it is you need, we'll be happy to pray with you and help you. Hey, I love you. Speak His blessings on you. Look at somebody around you and say, boy, Jesus is wonderful. Huh? Come on, say it. Jesus is wonderful. Hey, I love y'all. Have a good Labor Day. Have a good time.